sort of like having that last warm beer before you head out for the night ambush.
Right. Mm. Everybody makes it there and back, though. And we get back and start all over again.
Do you have any more popular songs, you know, the ones you hear back in the States or something that you fiddle around with?
I fiddled around with another corpsman that plays pretty good guitar. He taught me a song, and I've never heard it on tape myself. I'd like to hear what it sounds like.
Go right ahead. Go right to your tape.
But more than health and more than wealth, I wish you love. And in July, a lemonade to cool you in a summer shade, and with a kiss. But more than this, I wish you love. My breaking heart, and I agree that you and I could never be. So with my best, my very best, I set you free. I wish you shelter from a storm, a cozy fire to keep you warm, but most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish you
snowflakes fall. When was the last time you saw a snowflake over here?
Well, that's just the lyric.
The Fowler sing that morale booster we got, he always sings, of course, he made up about 4, 5, 10 verses he's got. The one you always play, Fowler, for the troops before we go out.
Oh, this should be a beauty.
Thought it was all.
walking down the rain in his air. Truth for you. And you never understood that it ain't no good. Let other people get there. Kicks for you. You hung around with Senator Warren Tuffard. And honest color was a Siamese cat. Ain't it hard when you discover that? He ain't really where it's at. After he's taken from you everything.
Before you go through the wire at night?
Yes, sir, but that was written by Bob Dylan, not me.
The reason why we sort of take this song, sir, we're, as you know, we're cut off from our own company. We're the only platoon down here. We don't have no lines to man. So evidently, we're the platoon that catches all the good work. We seem to go out every night. And we've been here now 47 days in this Hill 54, this God's area.
How many different hills have we been to?
We've been to six different hills, and we have spent exactly 9 days in our racks, our own beds. So that sort of be our little motto, our theme song. Every time it's played, everybody knows we're leaving again.
Hey, listen, I've been with other outfits, and those cats have never even seen a VC. Just think how lucky you are. You get to see them every day of the week.
How we sit around and play. You look around, yeah.
Yeah, you got practically the whole platoon coming in. Except for Washington, who's over there howling at his squad.
Yeah, Washington's always bitter.
What's going to be the next song?
They play Speedy Gonzalez. They got a man in a platoon, a Mexican boy, and every time he hears that song, he gets homesick, and the guys like to sort of dig him a little bit and really make him feel homesick because morale's always the highest.
So they like to cut him down.
Okay? Had to get him to him.
Okay, let's hear it.
Come home, Speedy Gonzales, away from Fannery Road. Stop all of your drinking with a person named Rose. Now your roof is leaking water, and your sink they don't work. Come home from that bar now. Stop singing with that flirt.
To come quickly down at the canteen, they're selling green stamps with tequila.
No, he can't send that back to the stage.
Well, without the tape, play it one time.
Okay,
well,
we're
going to
cut off the tape on this.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is
this is a good one.
Okay.
And
Herbie.
Right here.
And Timmy's the cook. No, he was here with us. He's a good guy.
Okay. I
got
to hear you, guys.
This is good.
Herbie and Timmy were lovers that anybody could see. They were as gay as they could be. He was his man, but he done him wrong. Not me two times, Herbie, and he told a lie. He went down to the corner bar room and made love to another guy. He was his man, but he done him wrong.
How you doing,
Herbie?
Herbie and Timmy always
pictures
in the
yeah,
they always
fight. Two pictures
in
the studio
always fight.
Oh. Now, Herbie found out about Timmy, so he grabbed his 44. He went down to the corner bar room, nailed him to the door. He was a man, fetch you $5. He ran twice as fast with a bullet up his ass.
Kirby, you used to always be throwing hands with Timmy or something?
No.
No, we just
bitching.
Cut each other out.
So you weren't hardly about to stop throwing any hands, huh?
He had a reach on him.
That's some more enough.
One more time.
Oh, I get it close.
Smack Mariah one time.
We used to sing that song. Billy Buster went on his head.
Stories.
Yeah,
you
know
all
the way.
You know all the way?
Well, enough so they make a song out of it.
He's 5'8", he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with fish. He's only 17, he's only 82. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a universal soldier and he's really not to blame. He's a Catholic and an atheist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, yet he knows he always will. Kill you for me and be my friend for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France. He's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the red. And he thinks he'll put an end to war this way.
What's our excuse for being in the Marine Corps?
What's the excuse for fighting?
Fun.
We like it. Well, I should say killing.
They think it's decent.
I can think of a million other things I'd really do.
Father, tell me, Father, what did you think? Today your squad, we out at Duckbo. You received a sniper fire from these two people. And your squad chased these two Viet Cong for almost 2,000 yards. And you finally broke out of the bush and you caught him changing clothes trying to get away from you, and the whole squad opened up on him.
Oh, goody.
Who do you think actually got him? Did you actually say who got him?
Yeah.
Who?
Who was that guy? Oh, yeah, Long and Sermel and Bailey.
What did Long get him with?
His M60.
Machine,
I got there
yeah.
late. I didn't get a chance.
We came along several hundred yards behind him. I went over and examined the body because it was... I'm an old salt. This is the first dead VC I'd seen.
Yeah, me too.
And that body had about 18 holes in it. He was dead. Completely.
Is he a good VC?
The only good VC
yeah,
is a dead VC.
I didn't know what they were shooting at until I saw Billy shooting at legs flying up over the dike.
Well, they're all over the place that day today, weren't they?
Good day. But I'll tell you, you talk about somebody's butt getting tight. We sat out there and we received that message from the three, the company. Proceed
yeah.
with caution. Two Viet Cong companies moving in your area and six of us sitting there.
Whoa. Oh,
nobody
was happy about it, man. 600 VCs and six of you, Robbie.
Yes, sir. We had to figure it out, though. We had five grenades, that's frag grenades, one Willie Peter, three smoke, green star cluster, four rifles, automatic, and two pistols. We could have raised some hell.
Everybody had nubs to fill.
Did you send us that green cluster?
No, I didn't. That was from a...
That was a falling
area.
Star.
No. How far away was that from you?
I'd say that was about a good 5,000 meters. It was to our right. Come more like come off the highway near the bridge.
Oh. Looked like a falling column or something. Fun. I just thought this was a winner.
Did you hear any Charlie last night when you were out there by yourself?
Yeah, I thought I heard a noise and I was sitting up on watch, but I was finally got to sleep. I heard this little noise back in the bush. It sounded like somebody was walking back there. So I muffled the sound on the radio, took a grenade out of my pouch. Same hand had the radio, and I put my finger in the ring of the grenade, and I just held on there. I figured, well, if I wake the troops up, I'll throw the grenade. But the noise stopped, and then they went by. I don't know if there's anybody there or not. I was going to stand up and find out. If I waited for them to come close enough, then we'd all have fun. But there was nothing.
This morning at first light, that area out where we were sitting in was... It looked like... extras from the film Exodus or something streaming to us, you know, the women and the kids and the VCs carrying their rifles.
Sir, I was sitting with my radio and I was keeping the troops briefed. They've got 10 coming toward them. They've got 30 coming toward them. And the troops say, they got anybody? They got anybody?
What was the machine gunner there on the second hill? Anyone know? Today?
Bailey.
Bailey.
That was you that was firing today?
Yes, sir. I was firing.
When we were up there,
who
you fired
the
gun.
That was the boat.
The boat
was on the hill.
Oh.
Where
you
were directing
his fire.
Yeah. It's too bad we couldn't have used the bipods and gotten down. We wouldn't have gotten a lot better.
Can't see through the brass.
No, can't see where they're aiming.
I'm going to try and get
through. This we can see over the smoke of the barrel, especially when the barrel gets hot and you got a little oil on it. You can't see if you lay directly behind it. You have to glance to the side unless you got a good A gunner, which we were very short of. We got 3 machine guns and 5 people, so 4 people.
Well, we could have used more traces out there today. Definitely more traces, especially when the range got over 800 yards.
But if every man had every other round a tracer, especially when you're sitting in a blocking force at a long distance,
right.
He can always bring his elevation in more. You can't see the dirt kick up from where we were at.
No. I was spotting with the binoculars for, I don't know, were any of you the rifleman there today?
No, it was Williams.
That was hilarious. That guy looked like Jesse Owens out there. Well, he was moving. He was all elbows and something else as he was kicking out there. And then we knocked him down with one, and I thought that was the end of him. Then he got up, and he looked like a steam-driven piston. He was really moving out, even though he was wounded. And he finally just plain out ran us. He must have run for a good mile across those rice paddies.
From what the troops say, they seen some of the Viet Cong were all dressed up in leaves. They had leaves all around them.
Yeah. And the famous statement of the day when, who's the squad leader that was up in here there? Corporal
Beerworth
comes up to me and he said, "Sir, the gooks are behind us. How do you know?" He said, "Sir, they're too well camouflaged to be Marines."
Yeah.
But the best one was when Sam Rowe broke radio procedure. And he cussed out, said a big old nasty word. And he said, "Well, look behind you. They're right behind you."
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I've owned the heart of at least one lovely girl. I've a pretty senorita waiting for me down in old Mexico, and if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see a cute
you went to 186 or 194 or 148. Which is the worst hill you hate to walk to?
The biggest one.
I don't know the names of them, but that one before this last one was the one for me. Boy.
That was 148. We walked up
194. Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
You like the market yourself, that one.
Yes, sir. I wasn't feeling too good.
But must have been that malaria pill.
Right, the malaria pill did it. Right.
Nothing to do with all those beers you probably shoved off.
But we may have a few beers. Everybody may be a little gay when they leave. You know, it's once they go through the line, everybody's professional.
Yeah.
We're ready to go.
Sad to say, we're going in.
You know, I'd like to take one more crack at them, just where we came from today. Maybe this is what the colonel's talking to Tony about right now.
I hope maybe.
I hope not, too.
I don't know. If we were down to the coast in those brush, I think we would have gotten about 30 or 40 of them.
What Lieutenant Monroe was going to suggest to the colonel is they take a company and set them in as the blocking force and have us sweep them.
Anyone hold. He was thinking of a complete decoy. Because they started shooting the minute that first A4 came in on its napalm run. And if you just flash a couple of napalms in the rice paddies, fake a couple of helicopters, and have a whole company where we were, I think that you'd really scoff some of them up when they started moving across and you'd have them in the paddies so you could cut down on them before they hit the brush on them.
That's where you guys get them.
We go out in this area quite a bit. The first time we went out there, we really got screwed out of all the VC we could have got. We could have got more VC with one platoon than any company on an operation. We were sitting there and the troops start coming in from the other end of their sweep. They just left Hill 54 and the VC made their bird out of duck bow. We counted 75 to 100 of them. They were traveling groups of 15 to 20 men. They stayed out of our range, but they went right up the trail. If we could just got down to the rice paddy, we could have just sat there and held them off until the rest of the company came. It was so very easy. But we had to stay and call for artillery, which took us 45 minutes to get the first round underway.
Yeah.
And we let them go.
I don't know. I don't see any way a Marine platoon can get overrun over here.
No.
No, it's tough. You take the average platoon, you take our platoon alone.
You'll forgive me, man.
We go out a little beefed up more than some of the platoons. We carry an extra machine gun. We generally go out with anywhere between 600 and 1,000 rounds per gun. Each squad leader.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir. We carry a machine gun ammo on pack boards.
We used to have 600 rounds per gun,
any,
sir.
Did we have that much yesterday?
No, sir.
Yes, we did.
We go out for 2 days, and we know we're going to be out there for a long time. Well, yesterday had 600 rounds per gun. The average squad leader carries anywhere from 35 to 40 M79 rounds on himself. Each man in the squad carries two. We have 5 to 7 laws per squad. Each man in the squad is carrying 20 rounds of linked ammo, plus each rifleman is carrying anywhere from 150 to 180 rounds.
Yeah, 180.
And sometimes they carry anywhere from 200 to 250, depending on how big we're going out and how long and what we expect to get.
Right.
We can stand off a regiment from any hilltop. We can hold out for a long time and take a regiment to kick us off if they got artillery and mortars and we couldn't get no help. But we got a PRC 25 and that's worth 200 men right there.
No question about that. Could use a couple of telescopic sights though. If you had a couple of those rifles scoped in, say, between 1,000 and 1,800 yards, you could really pick up.
Oh, you could use them. If we had just 4 to 5 snipers, all of his laws.
I'll tell you, the law that we fired a law today, and it made it short of that hardcore squad that was all camouflaged, and then the other law followed up on us.
Yes, sir. They do that all the time.
Right.
Made
a little bit more range.
I think this platoon alone, we've had something like about 60 laws, and about 40 of them haven't fired.
Yeah.
The reason why the malfunction come was we got stuck using old ammo. The stuff we that went in fire was used in a rung side area, and everything you had down there was wet, soaked in them swamps.
Let's go on, we'll let you know what
he's a nice guy.
Well, he told me he had a case and a half. I'll finish it for him.
One thing, sir, there's an old saying that Chessie Puller had that if you give each Marine a keg of beer and a woman in his arm, he can whip any enemy there is.
Yeah.
Well, if these troops, when they go out on their hills and had 2 beers dropped into them every night, just 2 beers, their morale would be so high that nothing could stop them. They would be invincible.
I thought you were going to say if they had 2 women dropped in.
Well, okay. That would even be better yet.
Well, I'd sell 2 a week.
But everybody says we're going to go out and rape and plunder. We don't rape and plunder.
Plunder
and rape. You just take one look at those Vietnamese women and that knocks off the idea
that's
of rape.
Right.
Everybody's afraid they'll go home with something missing they want so dear.
Hey, see those black people to turn me on.
That reminds me of something I've been meaning to ask. Any comments on the people-to-people program?
Yes,
the Marine Corps does have a people-to-people program, you know.
Right. We all think it's a big farce, but when you ride to the Ville and you see people wave at you, the guy gives you a dirty look or he gives you a sarcastic look and he still waves, everybody says, there's a VC. There's a VC.
You don't know.
Or if a guy goes by on a bicycle, there's another VC. But the favorite trick the troops got, and they really enjoy it, they like to go in a convoy, 2-truck convoy, ride down the road and see these pure Arvin forces running down there. And the Arvin forces always get under our skin because every time we go out there, sitting, they fire the FPL on us.
Yeah.
So we drive by and we try to see how many Arvin hats we can see on our way in. That's about the most fun they have. But you got to tell them, knock it off and turn your back so you can boost your morale up.
That's how we keep the Ville supplies. We steal them and sell them back to the Ville.
But the best time of all was when the guys tried to steal one of the carbines off of Arvin Forrest riding down the street on his bicycle.
They had him up in the air. He's hanging out his carbine, so is the trooper. We finally let him go with his carbine.
He fell off his bike, too. Yeah. He hit on the hard ground and it hurt him.
So you don't particularly have any great love for the popular forces of the Vietnamese?
No, we were on Operation Osage, and I had the opportunity of having all 14 PFs with us, and they were with our platoon, and Sergeant Ellis and I sort of kept herd on him. He was up front, and I watched his back all the way. We picked up a sniper, and next thing I know, Ellis and I were all by ourselves. The PFs had it up.
What do you mean?
They just disappeared.
Went to the rear or went after the sniper?
No, they went the other way. So I finally ran over, got him, and rounded him up and headed him up that way. And they weren't about to go up the hill, so the Marines went over to the other side. I finally went over the other side, and the PFs caught up, and they got halfway up the hill and sat down, and they weren't going no further.
They don't carry water either.
Yeah, that really hurts. They don't carry no water. So you're a good guy, and you're people's program, so you give them a drink out of your canteen. Give your canteen back empty, and that's all you got is two canteens of water.
What about the women and the kids out in the villages?
You're number one, give me chow.
Gimme. It's a one-way trip.
We got one man who loves kids, Corporal Figgins. Every time he drives down on a truck, he's always got at least two, three pockets full of candy, but he's got one pocket full of rocks. He runs down there and he throws a candy out, and there's one kid. He threw candy out last time, he threw rocks out. So every time he goes by, he throws rocks at one kid and throws candy to all the rest. He ends up bringing their sea ration chocolate. Cobus, he made friends with one real good kid out there. He made him a bean shooter out of a bamboo stick that you put the beans in the top, and it worked something like a suction action and shot them out pretty accurately. It was really good. I stayed around here and played with it all day long.
They shoot at us every time we go out. Down
yeah.
The cowboys, they sit there and shoot at us. Those
yeah, one day there was
sounds
a
like you're training the Negritos.
How about playing greenback down
the Negritos over here working?
Yeah, that would be good. I'm working with them. I went to a jungle warfare school at PI.
Right.
You only went one day, but oh man, we could have a bunch of them with a platoon.
Yeah. Just two Negritos with a platoon.
Right. That's right.
And pay them for each man, each VC they bring in with
or
a weapon.
Each pair of ears.
Or each pair of ears, which they probably prefer, or being probably headhunters, each shrunken head. For them, Negritos, that's one training that this battalion had missed, but we had a few people go in it to be able to take care of everybody. But if everybody could go through that Negrito guide training, it would help them so much better out here in the jungle.
Who's home here? Lieutenant
What's
Monroe?
The verdict? What's the verdict? Pack up?
No, I wasn't hearing talking about that.
Oh.
It's illegal radio procedures. They're saying we're all coming up here. Why not do it all night? Almost positive we're leaving tomorrow.
Trying to convince you to ship over for six.
Yeah, just think, extend and you can get another hill here.
We might even name it after you, Monroe Hill.
Oh, the Monroe Hill?
Monroe Hill.
The largest cave dwelling in town.